Robert, let's talk about the shuttle a bit. Everybody, I think, agrees it is old and not what it once was. And we would all hope that we're working on or have the next generation all set to go. Where are we?
Well, I would say we don't have the next generation set to go, and we're very far away from that. When Bush made his proposal last January, he said we should retire the shuttle by the end of this decade. And he proposed replacing the shuttle with a manned vehicle he called the Crew Exploration Vehicle. And that vehicle would be a modular setup. It wouldn't just be one vehicle. It would be modular, cargo in separate modules, additional modules to attach to a capsule so that you can extend its capability. That was the overall, just a very, very basic concept. And NASA spent the last year working up what they call a request for proposals, which they put out on the street on March 1st, last week. And that request for proposals is basically asking industry companies, and the aerospace industry, a whole range of companies were involved in working up that RFP, request proposal for proposals. And so the RFP went on the street, and now they're asking by early summer, they want to make a decision, they want to get proposals in from all these different companies on what they envision the crew exploration vehicle will look like. And what NASA's plan is to reward two contracts, sometime in September, to two different companies to build a prototype and fly it unmanned by 2008.
We have the money for this.
Well, that's a good question. I'm now just giving you the plan. I can get into the money in a minute, but let me at least let's set the framework for everybody so you know what is what's hopefully going to happen.
All right, design and fly.
Design and fly. And this is, what they're doing is that the guy in charge of the exploration department at NASA is a guy named Admiral Chuck Seidel. And he came out of the military and was involved in the Joint Strike Fighter program, where the Defense Department was not very happy with the kind of results they were getting for their procurement contracts. They needed new jets, and they weren't getting them. They'd give out the proposals. They'd get the winner would get the contract, build something that wasn't very good or useful, but they'd been paid anyway. So they started to come up with this idea of having fly-offs, having two competing companies compete for the contract, and then they do a prototype, and then they pick the company they like best.
Mm-hmm.
And that increased the chances of success. And actually, for the military, it's been reasonably successful. There's a lot of criticisms you can make about it, and it's, once again, government program and bloated, but it's worked. So NASA has brought people in from that military end, and they're starting to copy that. So they're going to have a fly-off in 08, not only exciting in itself, and then the plan is that the winner of that fly-off will then build and fly a manned mission by 2014. Now, having laid that out, I can lay out several problems with that framework. One, where's the money?
Is that private industry supplies the money to come up with the winning prototype, right?
No, actually not. Congress will be, NASA will be paying them money periodically as the contracts unfold.
I see.
But this way, because it's competitive and they both want to get the full or long-term contract, NASA is more likely to get a successful vehicle flown in 08 rather than something like the X-33, where NASA spent more than $1 billion and given it to Lockheed Martin.
Okay,
but really got zero.
But it's
got to
be taxpayer money.
It's got to be taxpayer money. Under this plan, it's taxpayer money. Now, will we get taxpayer money? Congress is not sure they're going to do it. The concept that NASA's got is that it won't cost a lot more money. It won't have to increase NASA's budget gigantically because they're going to phase the shuttle out by 2010. So as they ramp up the crew exploration vehicle, the CEV, they'll be ramping down the shuttle. That's part of their thinking. Now, there is some logic to that, but I'm skeptical. I have to admit, I'm very skeptical that's going to actually happen, partly because the shuttle has to finish the International Space Station for a lot of reasons. That's one question mark. Will the money be there? And Congress has been skeptical. There's no doubt about that.
Right.
The second aspect that makes this whole program somewhat of a problem is that the International Space Station is going to be assembled by 2010, and then we have to retire the shuttle. And then what? And then this crew exploration vehicle, the CEV, doesn't fly manned until 2014.
Hmm.
Well, from 2010 to 2014, how are we going to get humans to our own space station, according to this man? That's a question that NASA has not clarified yet at this moment in time. We cannot go to the Russians because the Iran Proliferation Treaty outlaws paying Russians any money for this kind of technology until they certify they will not provide nuclear weaponry or nuclear technology to Iran.
Well, that's not going so well. As a matter of fact, they just made a deal with Iran.
They absolutely did. So they're refusing to do it, and Congress and Congressman Boehler, who runs the House Science Committee, said at a recent hearing, he said, look, I have to tell you, I consider whether we get blown up much more important than NASA's budget.
Mm.
And so they can't go to the Russians. So how do we get out? So that's another gap in this plan, without question. It is possible they could accelerate the program of the CEV. It's very drawn out. I mean, they fly a prototype in 08, and they don't fly a manned mission till 6 years later. And I always go back to the American Gemini program in the 60s. They can see, they realized they needed a mid-program between the Mercury and the Apollo program, so they decided in late 1961 that they're going to create a third mid-ground program called Gemini in late 61, and they were flying their first mission in 1965,
mm-hmm.
less than 4 years. Now, that's pretty amazing, and that's a lot shorter than 6 years after you built your first prototype.
Well, those were amazing times, Robert. I'm not sure they're as amazing now in that sense. We don't have that kind of drive, even though I feel it, and I feel that the world, this country, certainly needs it. I'm not sure that we have it.
Well, the "we" there is very important to distinguish, because when you, what you're really referring to is where the NASA and the government has it.
That's right.
And what Burt Rutan and Scale Composites and the XPRIZE proved is that Americans, there are Americans that have that, and there are Americans that are enthused by it, and it can happen very fast in other places. Now, NASA might get its act together. I'm not going to say they won't, but there are questions in my mind. Now, we've been talking about the next generation, the shuttle's replacement. We haven't talked about the shuttle itself.
Let's.
The shuttle will fly. It's scheduled now on May 15th for a return to flight. And I think it's very, it's really short-sighted to just dismiss this technology. It is available. It is a very useful spacecraft. It even if you retire it around 2010, that doesn't mean you. The worst thing they could do is decide, okay, we're now going to store it at the Air and Space Museum for people to stare at. It's absurd. These space vehicles should be used either as a heavy lift module that goes into orbit and is permanently there for use, or as the engines and the solid rocket boosters and the external tank can be combined to create a completely new module that can go up to the International Space Station, or even be used, and we'll talk about Hubble later, be used as a way to make a mission to Hubble safer.